Glory to God. Can you say glory to God? All right. If you have your Bible tonight, let's open our Biblions, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 10. Now that I've got you for 3 days, there are some things I want to pour into your spirit. Can you say amen? 2 Corinthians and chapter 10 and verse 10. Now, what we are doing here, you want me to show you the law of revival? Amen. You want me to show you the law of revival?
Yes.
It's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 3. All right, if you can put it on the screen. King James, okay? Like I told you, hallelujah. You don't need a King James to come to church, but when you go to heaven, the first thing they will give you is a King James Bible. No, just kidding with you. All right, let's. Have we prayed already? Have I prayed already?
No.
No? Father, thank you as we go to your word that your people are blessed today. We thank you, Spirit of God. Help us to understand the word. Give us ears to hear, mind to understand, heart to receive the word of the living God. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen.
Amen.
So let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and that's the law of revival. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 3, the Bible says, if the cloud be full, they do what? They empty themselves. And in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. All right? You got it? Have you got it in your Bible there? Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3. That's the folks, that's the law of revival. If the clouds be full of rain, do you not remember when Elijah went on top of the mountain? Right? He said to his servant, go out there and see. Well, tell me what you see. I don't see nothing. I don't see nothing. The seventh time, what do you see? I see the cloud like the size of a man's hand, right? He says, get down. The whole purpose of praying is to generate a cloud. Are you listening? And when your cloud is full, they will do what? Empty themselves. The reason why we don't see the revival, local revival in a church, or we don't see national revival, is because the cloud is not full. But when the cloud is full, it will empty itself. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so this week I'm going to show you how to get your cloud to be full. Can you say amen? Glory be. Revival is not some kind of mysterious thing. All you got to do is get your cloud full. It's called the law of accumulation. Are you hearing me, saints?
Amen.
It's like when you go to Six Flags. You got Six Flags around here, right? If you go to Six Flags, when you see the little kids standing underneath the bucket, right? And the bucket's on top of their head. And the water gets filled up. And the water gets filled up. And it all starts to scream and scream and scream, right? And until the bucket gets to the full, praise God. When it gets to the brim, then it tips over. What do you call that? The tipping point. Are you hearing me, saints? Come on, look at your neighbor. Says
accumulation
will trigger the tipping point. And I'm going to show you this week, glory to God, how you can have a tipping point in your life. And the Bible tells you where the tree falls, that's exactly where it's going to stay. It is impossible for you to pray in the Bay Area and then God somehow move in Alaska. Because where the cloud accumulates is where it will fall. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to fall on your house.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that amen is too weak right now.
Amen.
And it's going to fall on your personal house. Can you say amen? It's going to fall on your life. Come on, lift up your hands. Say, it's going to fall on me. It's going to fall on me. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, look, ask your neighbor this question. Is your cloud full? See, that's why I don't worry about revival. That's why I don't worry about revival. You know why? Because I know all I got to do if I want revival, get my clouds full. Get my clouds full. And it's going to take some time. Worship, amen, will fill up your cloud. Fasting will fill up your cloud. Praying in the Holy Ghost is going to fill up your cloud. Praising is going to fill up your cloud. And all you're going to do is wait for that tipping point. And when the tipping point, revival becomes unstoppable. Can you say amen? If you want to see an unstoppable move of God in your life, how many of you want to see an unstoppable move of God in your life? All you've got to do is trigger the law of accumulation, fill up your cloud, and you will have a tipping point, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Have you found 2 Corinthians yet? Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 10. And that's what we're going to do this week. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. Amen. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. We're going to read verse 10, please. All right. I'm going to take some time to help you understand the word today. Okay? All right. Now look on the screen or look in your Bible. Now, Paul had some enemies, right? Within the church and outside the church. And as you grow and mature in the word, you'll find that you've got some enemies. And look what it says here. For his letters, they say of what? Weighty. Everybody say weighty.
Weighty.
Come on, talk to me. Say weighty.
Weighty.
And powerful. Everybody say weighty and powerful. But what his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. What a thing to say about the Apostle Paul. Right? They say what? His letters are weighty and powerful, but when we look at him, his bodily presence is weak. If you read later on, verse 11 and onwards, you'll discover that Paul said, no. What you see in the letters is what exactly what we are in presence. If you look at verse 11, all right? This is what we have in verse 11 when we are in present with you. So today, I'm going to show you how to become weighty in the spirit. Can you say amen? Now, you know there are people that carries weight in the spirit, and then there are those who are lightweight. Just like you've got in boxing. Anybody here like boxing? All right, some people don't say, no, I like boxing. I love boxing. Amen. Now, you remember when we had real heavyweights, when we had people like Muhammad Ali, amen, from my city in Louisville, Kentucky. We used to call him the Louisville Lip. All right. And then you had George Foreman. Then you had Smoking Joe Frazier. Amen. If they punch you, you will speak in tongues. I'm telling you. All right. If George Foreman punches you, you might see Jesus. Are you listening? Amen. You might see him. But these were heavyweight. Now, just like in boxing, we've got heavyweight, we've got middleweight, and we've got lightweight. Well, in the Christian church, we've got lightweight believers, middleweight believers, and heavyweight believers. Now, the problem is that all of us here, we think that we are heavyweight. Say amen.
Amen.
Some of you are looking down, I don't know if I'm heavyweight. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. How do you know that you are a heavyweight in the spirit? Well, let me show you this, all right? Let me show you a few things here. Look in your Bible, please, in Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Now, you remember in your Bible here, this is when King Belshazzar, all right, he saw the writing on the wall. He had this great idea to take the golden goblets that Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple and to begin to drink from the golden goblets. Are you listening? Right? And then literally he saw a hand not attached to a body began to write on the wall. And what did that hand write? Now look in your Bible, please. Daniel chapter 5. We're going to read verse 24 till verse 29. All right? Verse 24 till verse 29. Look in your Bible. He says, then was the part of the hand sent from him, amen, and the writing was written. Okay, now let's keep on reading, please. And this is the writing, verse 25 now, and this is the writing that was written. Now, everybody read now. Are you ready? Look on the screen and read. What does it say? Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. One more time. Mene, mene. Now, did you notice the word mene, mene is repeated twice? Right? That's called the law of double enunciation. When you hear Moses, Moses, Simon, Simon, that's called the what? The law of what? Double enunciation, which means God is trying to get your attention. Are you listening?
Amen.
All right, so he says, many, many. Everybody say, many, many. All right, tekel. Everybody say, tekel. Euphorsin. Now, let's read the next verse. You'll see the interpretation now. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, what? God has numbered your kingdom and did what? Finished it. So God said it twice. Your kingdom is finished. Twice. That means that is serious. And if you know your Bible, you know that night his kingdom was finished. All right, now look at the next verse. Now, here's the verse that we want to look at. Everybody read now, look on the screen. Tekel, what's it say here? You are weighed in the balances and you are found wanting. Did you hear that? You have been weighed in the balances and you've been found what? Wanting. One Bible says you've been weighed on the scales and you've been found out to be too lightweight. Did you hear that? You've been weighed on the scale and you have been found to be too lightweight. Question I want to ask you tonight. God is weighing you. And how will you be? What will God say about you when he puts you on his scales? Will he say, you've been found too lightweight? Or will God look at you and say, my, you are a heavyweight? Can you say amen? Amen. So do me a favor, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands to heaven and say, oh God, make me a heavyweight. Come on, say, oh God, make me a heavyweight. Now look at Proverbs chapter 16. I'm going to show you something here. Proverbs chapter 16 and look at verse 2 in your Bible. That's not just in my Bible. It's in your Bible too. Now look in your Bible. Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 16. If you got it, let's read verse 2 together, please. It says, everybody read. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord does what? Weigheth the spirits. Now point your finger at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God is weighing your spirit.
God is weighing your spirit.
So what will your weight be? Now, if I tell you what's your weight, right? You know what your weight is, right? How many of you right now have the boldness to say what you weigh? All right? Come on, talk to me, somebody.
150.
150 pounds, all right? What are you, Alan?
200.
200, my. Amen. A lot of that has to do with your height. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, you know your weight, right? You are weighed in pounds or some other nation's kilos. In England, we have to be different. Stones. Good God Almighty. Amen. The Brits always have to be different. All right. So you've got stones. You got what? Pounds. And then you've got what? Kilos. All right. Then you've got what? Stones. Not tons. If you're weighing in ton, may God help you. Thank you, Jesus. Ships are weighed in tons. Is that correct? The airplanes are weighed in tons. So there are different measurements for weighing. So when God weighs your spirit, what is the measurement used? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and look at verse 17. All right. What does the Apostle Paul say? The Apostle Paul reveals something amazing to us. Everybody look on the screen and read with me right now. Ready, one, two, go. For our what? Light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more what? Exceeding and what? Eternal what? Weight of glory. Everybody say, weight of glory. So when God measures us, he's looking for what? How much glory do you carry?
Come on, Jesus.
Are you hearing me, saints? Yeah. Can you say amen?
Amen?
I said when God weighs you, he wants to know how much glory that you carry. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So he's not measuring in pounds. He's not measuring in kilos. He's not measuring in tons. He's measuring in what? Glory. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessel. What's the treasure? The glory.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
So put your hand on your belly. Say with me, I'm a vessel of glory.
I'm a
carrier of glory. Now you've got, now see, if you are a vessel of glory, then you got to carry glory. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now in the spirit, just like in the natural, you've got rank, status, and weight. Therefore, in the spirit, you've got what? Rank, status, and weight. Now, you know that the Apostle Paul was weighty. Jesus was weighty. How do we know that? Because the Bible says, and Jesus grew and waxed strong in spirit. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
After 40 days of fasting, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 from verse 14 onwards, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. And there went out a fame of him throughout the region round about. The more weight that you carry, the more influence you will have over the atmosphere.
Amen.
Are you ready?
Amen.
If you are not a heavyweight in the spirit, you cannot deal with territorial spirit.
Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus.
That's why the seven sons of Sceva, who were exorcists, not weighty in the spirit, the demon said to them, they said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Right? And the demon said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? When you're not weighty in the spirit, demons know it. Did you hear what I said to you?
Yes.
I said, when you are not weighty in the spirit, what? Demons know it. Ladies and gentlemen, why do you think the Bible tells you that David, before he faced Goliath, Goliath came for 40 days and tormented the children of Israel. And the Bible says, and there came out a man from Gath, whose name was Goliath. And then the Bible goes into great details about his armory, the weight of his armor, the weight of his spear. Why does the Bible go to great details to let you know about the weight of his spear, the weight of his coat of mail? Are you listening? Because that tells you when the enemy comes, he's coming loaded. He's coming with heavy artillery. He's coming with heavy weapons. Are you hearing me, saints? And you come out here, well, bless God, I don't pray in tongues. I just, well, bless the Lord. I'm just a believer. He's going to knock you out. That's why you see a lot of preachers and pastors suffering from burnout. Why? No weight in the spirit. Are you listening? Are you hearing me, saints? And so my purpose here this weekend with you is to increase your rank, your status, and get you to get some weight. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. You shall be fat and flourishing. That's what the Bible, praise God. And that's in the Bible, but that's talking about spiritual, praise God. Amen. We don't want to be fat and flourishing naturally. Amen. We want to be fat and flourishing in the spirit.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Come on, lift up your hands. Say, oh God,
make me weighty
in the spirit. Say again,
oh God,
make me weighty
in the spirit.
Glory be to God. Do I have any heavyweight champions here today? Do I have any heavyweight in the spirit here today? Can you say amen? You want to believe God today that your days are being lightweight, that your days are being middleweight. It is over. And that from today you will be a heavyweight in the spirit. Can you say amen? Glory to God forever. And that is, you don't have to be in the ministry to be a heavyweight. Are you listening? Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now, what does it mean to be weighty? What does it mean to be weighty? I want you to write this down, please. All right, what does it mean to be weighty? I want you to write this down. To be weighty means to weigh a great deal, to be heavy. In fact, that's what the Hebrew word for glory is. There are two words for glory. You've got the words kabod, then you've got the words the Shekinah. Right? The kabod means literally the heaviness of his presence. That's why when the priests were dedicating the temple, right, at the first temple, the temple of Solomon, they could not stand up. Why? Because of the heaviness of the kabod. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Then you've got the Shekinah. Glory to God. The Shekinah is the tangibility and the manifested presence. That's not the universal presence. God is present everywhere. David says, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Where can I go from your presence? But that's the universal presence. But the Shekinah presence is God's tangible presence. Amen. Laser beam in one particular space and one at one particular time. Can you say amen? Then you walk in there and you know God is here. God is here. That's what Jacob experienced on the mountain. He's called it Peniel or Peniel. I have seen God face to face. Can you say amen? And that is what we want in our life. We want the heaviness. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And we want the heaviness of his presence. And we want the tangibility of his presence. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on, lift up your hand and say, oh God.
Oh God.
Oh God. Come on, say it again.
Oh God.
Say it this way. Oh God of Jacob.
Oh God of,
God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Oh God,
I want the heaviness of your presence and the tangibility of your concentrated presence in my life, in my church, in my house. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? And that's what we want. Glory to God. When you've got that Shekinah, you don't have to beg sinners to get saved. You don't have to be struggling for healing. Healing miracles are going to happen. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? And you know what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen? Amen. New hands will shoot forth. Glory to God. Can you say amen? New legs will begin to shoot out. Glory to God. There will be creative miracles. Do you want to see creative miracles? Well, then you've got to have that tangibility and that heaviness. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Let me give you a key here. I'm giving you way too many secrets here. Praise the Lord. If you learn to grace God with your tangible presence, he will grace you with his tangible presence. It's cost you money, Madonna. If you learn to grace God with your tangible presence, he will grace your life with his tangible presence. How many know that there are some people who are in church, but they're not there? They're here, but they're not there. They're thinking about Lazy Dog, that restaurant we went to. Oh, my God, that steak or that Korean meal. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. We're here, but we're not here. Learn to grace God's house with your tangible. That's why I don't miss church. I don't miss church. Because if I want his presence, I got to grace him with my presence. Give and you shall receive. I give him my presence. He give me his presence.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
I give him my time. He gives me his time.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
So over the next 3 days, I'm going to show you the importance of being weighty in the spirit.
Wow.
How to get there.
Thank you.
How to get this into your belly.
Yeah.
Because the enemy is coming with heavy artillery.
Mm-hmm.
What's in your artillery? How much do you weigh? This is why when you see boxing, what's the first thing they do before they step in the ring? They're weighing. Right? And many of us, we want to be in the ring. You've never been weighed. But when you've been weighed, God said, you are too lightweight. And the devil will tell you, get out of here, man. But we know that Jesus was a heavyweight. You know how we know that? Because he says, if I cast out demon by the finger of God. finger. Can you say amen? Now that's what you call the heavyweight champion of the world. That's what you call the undisputed champion of the world. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's Jesus. Can you say amen? He has never lost a battle and he will never lose a battle. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. So I'm going to share tonight one key. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter, the last chapter. You can't miss that, can you? Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 13. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm going to show you one way to become a lot of ways. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now listen to this. When you read the Pauline or the Pauline epistles, Paul was a genius. Paul unveiled to us things about the Spirit that no other man knew except Jesus. As great as Peter was, it was not Peter who taught you about the nine gifts of the Spirit. It was the Apostle Paul. As great as John was, it was not John who taught you about the fruit of the Spirit. It was the Apostle Paul. As great as all the others were, they did not teach you that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. They didn't teach you about the supply of the Spirit. It was the Apostle Paul who taught you all these. Apart from the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul knew more about the Holy Ghost than any other man. Now, when you read we call it in theology the Lucan epistles. Or the Lucan doctrine. What's the Lucan doctrine? That's the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. All right? The Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. If you really want to understand, a simple way of understanding the Lucan doctrine is this. The Gospel of Luke tracks the Holy Spirit in the life of the Messiah from his birth all the way to his resurrection. Everything that Jesus did, he did it by the Holy Ghost. You hear me? Everything. When Mary asked, how is it possible for me to give birth, seeing I know not a man? Gabriel says, the Holy Ghost shall come on you. Which today we call it the incarnation. As far as medical science was concerned, as Satan was concerned, this was impossible. But the things which are impossible with man are possible with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So his very incarnation, his very entrance into the earth came by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost makes things which are impossible miracle.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say amen? His first sermon was by the Holy Ghost. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. His healing ministry was by the Holy Ghost. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38. That's the Holy Ghost. So his healing ministry was by the Holy Ghost. His deliverance ministry was by the Holy Ghost. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us he went to the cross of Calvary by the Spirit. He offered himself, Hebrews 9, by the Spirit. Everything that Jesus did. And how was he raised from the dead? Paul said to us, if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. So everything that Jesus did was by what? By who? The Holy Spirit. So the Gospel of Luke tracks the Holy Spirit in the life of the Messiah. Whereas in the book of Acts, he tracks the Holy Spirit in the ecclesia, in the church. So the Gospel of Luke, he tracks the Holy Ghost in the Messiah. In the book of Acts, he tracks the Holy Ghost in the ecclesia, the church. Are you listening? Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the very last verse. Glory to God. Can you say glory to God? Look at verse 14 in your Bible, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Praise God forever. Got it? Let's all read together, please. Ready, one, two, go. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the what?
Communion.
Can't hear you. Come on, talk to me. And the what?
Communion.
And the what?
Communion.
And the what?
Communion.
Come on, and the what?
Communion.
Of the Holy Ghost. Be with how many?
All.
They'll be with you. Some people think that Benny Hinn has got the monopoly on the Holy Ghost. What does it say? And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Not just with Benny, but Pastor Benny is smart. That's why he has communion with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
So look at your neighbor and point your finger at your neighbor and tell him this. The grace,
of
the Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God,
and the communion,
and the communion.
Of the Holy Spirit
be with you.
Be with you, Lee. Be with you, Mama Sophia. Be with you, Alan. Be with you, Robert. Be with you, my sister. Be with you, Apostle Mike. Can you say amen? Be with you. 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 Be with you and be with you. And be with me. Hallelujah. Amen. But here's the deal. When we hear the word communion, everybody say communion.
Communion.
You don't think about the Holy Ghost. You think about the Lord's Supper. Right? What we call communion is the Lord's Supper. But Paul is showing you that there are two kinds of communion. It is the communion of the Lord's Supper. It is his blood and his body broken that qualifies you now to have communion with the Holy Spirit. You hear me? You cannot have communion with the Holy Spirit if you did not have communion with the Lord. So it is your communion with the Lord that gets you born again. And when you become born again, you become the habitation of the Spirit. Glory to God. And now that you become the habitation of the Holy Spirit, listen, we've gone beyond visitation. Revival is visitation, right? But we're going to go beyond visitation to habitation. Where he's with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months a year. Can you shout amen, somebody? Wall to wall, Holy Ghost, glory to God. What Paul was showing you here was the progress in the Christian life. We begin with grace. Once you've tasted the grace of God, now you know the love of God. And then what happened next? Well, see, that's where we stop. How many of you remember when you first got saved? Can I see your hands? You know where I first got, you know where I got saved? I got saved in London, England, in a place called Finsbury Park, which is like a ghetto, not far from the Arsenal Football Club, right? And I mean, there was a mess, but that day that I got saved, when I came out of church, the ghetto looked good. Even the trash looked good. I was walking down there, I said, my God, I'm saved. I'm saved. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm on my way to heaven. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Now, what changed? Finsbury Park didn't change. Still a dump. But my perspective changed. Because I know that God loves me. How many of you here, you know that God loves you? Come on, lift up your hand and say, I know that God loves me. Everything that Jesus did at the cross was not just to get your sins forgiven. Look at me. If that was all that he came to do, to forgive you of your sins, he did not need to come. Because under the Old Testament economy, they had forgiveness of sins. Through the sacrificial system. But Jesus came to the earth. Did what he did. suffered the way that he suffered, died the death that he died, and was resurrected from the dead to make you the habitation of the Spirit. Amen. He didn't just forgive your sins. He forgave you all your sins to make you the temple of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. And Paul comes along, he says, now, every believer, everybody say, every believer.
Every believer.
That means what? That means you. He didn't say for pastor only. He didn't say for apostles only. He didn't say for deacons only. He says that the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. So put your hand in your heart and say this with me. It is my right, to have communion with the Holy Spirit. Second, it is my divine right. It is my legal right to have communion with the Holy Spirit. Write this down. It is your communion with the Holy Spirit that will determine the impartation that you receive. It is your communion with the Holy Ghost that determines your impartation and your impact in life. You can't have no impact without impartation. And you can't have no impartation without communion.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes.
I want you to write this down. It is your communion with the Holy Spirit that determines your command of the supernatural.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Jesus had a command of the supernatural. Pick up your bed and walk. Rise and be healed. Right? No man ever eat of you any longer. He had a command of the supernatural. The apostle Paul had a command of the supernatural. He looked at a wizard, Elymas, be blind for a season. Peter and John had a command of the supernatural. Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have give I unto thee. Rise up in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And that man was 40 years old. You know what that tells you? That tells you that this guy's upper part of his body was 40 years old, but if he's never walked from his mother's womb, there was two little, deformed little feet there. Are you listening? Amen. But when Peter picked him up, glory to God, two brand new legs came shooting down. And without therapy, without anything, the guy began to walk and jumping and leaping and praising God without therapy. That's what you call creative miracles. It is the communion with the Holy Ghost that gives you a command of the supernatural. You know what we need today? We need some preachers and pastors who have a command of the supernatural. Are you listening?
Amen.
Write this down. It is your communion with the Holy Ghost that determines what you carry. What do we mean by that?
Yay.
What's your weight?
Yes, amen.
What's your weight? What you carry? Mm-hmm. Listen to this now. The weight of this building and the height of this building is determined by the depth of its foundation. So the depth of your dedication to God determine what you carry and how high you will go in life.
Amen.
My, my, my. And it is your communion with the Holy Spirit that determines your communication and your companion. What do you communicate to people? All right, so what does that mean then? What does that mean when Paul says, come on, look at your neighbor and tell him this. And the communion? What's the matter? Didn't you eat today? Come on, talk to me. Amen. Come on, say,
and the communion
of the Holy Spirit
be with you.
Now ask him, what does that mean? Now, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. The Apostle Paul was a learned man. Have you ever heard that scripture, evil communication corrupt good manners? Mm-hmm. Have you heard that before? Did you know that is not that was not in the Bible? That was a philosopher that Paul quoted from called Soper. He took it from the secular and made it Bible. Made it verse. The word communion, Paul did not go into his Hebrew lexicon and find that word in the Hebrew lexicon. You know where he got this word from? Communion? Come on, look at your neighbor and say communion.
Communion.
Now look at me, real quickly. How many of you went to school? How many learned something in school? So, some of us weren't there. We were just watching the preacher, I mean, the teacher, like, well, okay, hurry up and get out. Let me get out. How many did mathematics? How many love mathematics? How many hated mathematics? Come on, can I see your hands? How many of you remember Pythagoras' theorem? Right? Has to do with what now? Right angle, triangle, triangle. How many? When I was in school one time, my teacher asked me, Arachion, name some triangles. I said, isosceles triangle, equilateral triangle, right? Then he asked me this question, Arachion, what do you call a triangle whose sides are not equal? For the life of me, I couldn't remember. But he had a stick in his hand. And he started to beat me. Whack, whack, whack. All of a sudden, without the Holy Ghost, I remembered. There's something about a stick that will make you remember things. My father did not need the name of Jesus to cast the devil out of me. He had a belt. And that belt drove all the demons out, and they never came back again. They're still roaming in the dry places. My, my, my. But Paul got this word communion from Pythagoras. And what was in Pythagoras' mind? The Greek word is the word koinonia. What was in the mind of Pythagoras when he engaged the word koinonia? Well, in the mind of Pythagoras, he wanted to have a community. Everybody say community.
Community.
Of people living together in one place, having all their needs met with nothing missing and nothing broken. You hear me now? That's what he engaged the word koinonia to have what? A community of people living together in one place with all their needs met, nothing missing, nothing broken, right? Everybody had the same. But because man is so evil and man is so greedy, they could never achieve this utopia. And so here comes the Apostle Paul and say, where man fail, the Holy Ghost will make it a reality. And therefore, when you have communion with the Holy Ghost, glory be to God, you'll come to a place in your life where there will be nothing missing, nothing broken, all your needs met. Praise God. You will have adventures with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, what does that word mean? I want you to write it down quickly. We're going to close the next few minutes. Glory to God. You ready? The word, the first word, the first definition of the word koinonia is partnership. Partnership. Now put your hand on your heart and say this with me. The Holy Ghost is my senior partner. He's my business partner. He's my life partner. He's my senior partner. Are you hearing me? Now you want to see the Holy Ghost at work? Look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. We're going to read from Luke chapter 5. If you can put that for me on the screen. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, now it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake called Gennesaret. Remember that?
Yes.
All right. Glory to God. Look at the next verse, please. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the what? Come on now. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were doing what? I can't hear you. Washing their what?
Nets.
Say nets.
Nets.
What does that mean? Plural. And why were they washing the nets? Because they were done. Right? In them days, they had dragnet fishing. And they were dragging the thing on the seabed and got nothing. Right? So the next day in the morning, they went to wash their nets. Which means what? Fishing is over. Right? Next verse, please. Glory to God. And when he entered to Simon's ship, and he prayed him to thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had finished, let's keep it rolling, all right? And when he had finished speaking, right, he said to Simon, what does it say? Now, everybody read now. Launch out and let down your. Okay, now come on, now specify it. Let down your.
Yes.
You mean the one which I've already washed? Uh-huh. You mean the one I've put away? Uh-huh. Let down the nets. All right, for a draft. Next verse, what does it say? And Simon answering said, Master. Now, if he had stopped right there, he would have been perfect. Master. But he kept on talking and lies is going to come out of his mouth. Master, we have toiled all night long and have taken nothing. He was the first guy. He was the first beetle. It's been a hard day's night. And I've been working like a dog. All right. Toil all night long and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, what was the word of Jesus? Let down the?
Net.
What does he say? Net. At your word, I will let down the?
Net.
Is that what Jesus said? No. What did Jesus say? Let down the nets. What do you know about fishing? You're a preacher, man. I'm a professional fisherman. The fish didn't bite last night. They're not going to get in the water now. And to make matters worse, Jesus said, let down your net where? In the deep. In the Sea of Galilee, in this Lake of Genesaret. You don't get fish in the deep. Did you hear that? So he said, I ain't doing this. This is crazy. But just to shut you up, I'm going to throw a net. And it was not even a good net. How do we know it wasn't a good net? Because what happened when the fish came? It broke. And some preacher said, that's what you call a net breaking, boat sinking blessing. Have you heard that before? That's a net breaking, boat sinking blessing. I got news for you. If your net break and your boat sink, it ain't a blessing. Right? And that's the problem with many of us. Our nets have been broken and our boats are sinking. But from today, your nets will not break and your boats will not sink. Everything that God has for you, you will maintain it and you will contain it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now quickly, please. Let's go down. Let's keep it rolling. And what happened next now? Let's keep the next verse. Verse 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. And they, what happened now? They beckoned unto who? Partners unto which were in the other ship that they should come and help them, and they fill how many? Both ships. Right? Look at the next verse, please. Let's go to verse 9. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to verse 10. Verse 10, please. Thank you, Jesus. And all, everybody read now. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were checking your Bible, koinonia. Now watch this. They were partners with Peter, and they came and helped him, right, to catch the fish. Let me tell you right now, Jesus has a plan to fill up your nets. Come on, say amen to that. Jesus has a plan to fill up your church. Jesus has a plan to fill up your bank account. But in order for you to capture everything that Jesus has for you, you will need the partnership of the Holy Ghost for you to capture and contain everything that Jesus has for you. Can you say amen? So lift up your hands and say, the Holy Ghost is my partner. The second definition of the word koinonia. Are you ready? Let me just rush through this quickly. Right? I'm going to give you five definitions. So number one, it's partnership. Number two, it is friendship. Put your hand in your heart. Say, the Holy Spirit. He's my friend. He's my friend. The word says to be a friend with the world is to be an enemy of God. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Right? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now listen to this. So how do I become his friend? Third definition of koinonia is fellowship. So I have to have what? Fellowship. So I have partnership, friendship, and fellowship. Years ago, if you grew up in the Pentecostal church, you will know this song. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. So it is fellowship that fosters friendship. Let me close with this in the next 5 minutes. Are you ready? So partnership, then what? Friendship, and then what? Fellowship. Write this down. Intimacy. Yeah. Now, I don't teach on marriage. That's not my lane. But I heard this guy one day preaching about marriage. He said this, intimacy. He had his jacket like this and he opened it. He says, into me, you see. That's great. I'm not mocking that. In other words, you have transparency, right? But that's not what the word intimacy means. Now, write this down. Say this with me. Say in. Come on, talk to me. Say in. Timma. In. Timma. See. The key word there is the word timma. Timma is a Latin word for time. So what does the word intimacy means? In time, you will see. In time, you see. You see that keyboard there? What's your name again, my brother? Lamar? I will never be able to play that keyboard. That is not a negative confession. That's a fact. You know why? Don't care for it. Don't have time for it. And write this down. Anything you don't make time for, you have no right to. Anything you don't make what? Time for, you have no right to. You know what your problem is? Do you know what your problem is? Where's my phone? There it is. Look at your phone. That's your problem. That's your problem. Huh? How many of you have ever said, I'm going to go into my holy room, just me and Jesus? Me and who? Jesus. And then before you go, when you're sitting there in your holy room, hallelujah. Let me check my Facebook. Let me check my Twitter. That's your problem. That is a distraction. That's why when I go into my prayer room, I don't take this with me. That's why in my holy room, there's no TV, there's no radio, there's no nothing. It's just me and Jesus. Are you listening? So how do you create that intimacy? So come on, lift up your hand and say, partnership.
Partnership.
Come on, say, partnership.
Partnership.
Friendship.
Friendship.
Fellowship.
Fellowship.
Intimacy.
Intimacy.
Let's close with this now. Are you ready?
Yes.
Stand on your feet. Let's write this down. You can write it down with your notes in your hand. You can write it down. What's the Greek word?
Koinonia.
Say it slowly.
Koinonia.
Say it slowly.
Koinonia.
Say it very slowly. Say koinonia. What English word can you derive from that? So one guy said to me, koi. It's not koi fish. Okay. What English word can you derive from the word? I'm giving you a clue here. Koin. Coin. What is a coin? It's an exchange mechanism. Money. Right? You said money, but a coin is an exchange mechanism. I put 4 quarters in the machine and I get a Coke. Right? There has been an exchange. Well, you can't buy the Holy Ghost. That's why Peter said to Simon, your money perish with you. So what is the exchange mechanism? Time. You want intimacy with the Holy Ghost? Time. You want friendship with the Holy Ghost? Time. You want friendship? You want partnership with the Holy Ghost? Give him time. Give him time. Give him time. All right? Now, what's the Greek word again? Koinonia. The root word is the word koine. Have you heard the word koine? Do you know what koine means? In Jesus' day, they spoke Greek. But there were two kinds of Greek. Just like in America, we speak English. In England, they speak the Queen's English. In Nigeria, they speak English, but I don't know what kind of English they're speaking. Even in some southern parts of America, you ain't got a clue. In Scotland, I don't know. They tell me it's English. Right? But you don't have a clue what they're saying. The first time I went to Scotland, a guy looked at me and said, there's a moose in the house. I said, what does that mean? Come to find out, he was saying, there's a mouse in the house. But he kept telling me, the moose in the house. I said, what? Speaking in tongues to me, bro. But in Jesus' day, they had two kinds of Greek. Classical Greek and Koine Greek. Koine means, check in your English, if you have a dictionary, type the word koine, K-O-I-N-E. K-O-I-N-E. And koine means common language. Common what? Language. Is that right? All right? So what's the? How do you develop partnership? How do you develop friendship? How do you develop fellowship? How do you develop intimacy? You got to speak the language of the Holy Ghost. And what's the language of the Holy Ghost? Tongues. You see what I'm saying here? Do you see what I'm saying here? So do you want partnership with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Come on, do you want partnership with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Do you want friendship with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Do you want fellowship with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Do you want intimacy with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Speak his language.
Wow.
Tongues. Tongues will develop your partnership. Tongues. I'm telling you, there are depth and levels and dimensions of tongues that we are yet to find out. Come on, lift up that hand right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Imbrosata kashata bosate. Debrosaka taboshata. Nimbraba. Come on, come on. Pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. Bagata boshata ba. Ebrobokata bota mosante de bezete. Umbrabakata bora bagata bora bezete. Ibraba bora makata bota bosata bagata ba. Nimbrama. Come on, come on, come on, come on now. Come on. That's why I pray in the Holy Ghost every day. That's why I pray in tongues every day. Why? Because I'm developing my partnership with the Holy Spirit. I'm deepening my friendship with the Holy Spirit. I'm deepening my fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I got to have intimacy with him. Come on, I need you to pray with me right now. Pray with me right now. Speak the language of the Holy Ghost. Speak the language of the Holy Ghost. And the more you speak it, the more weighty you become. And the more weighty you become, the more influence you will have. Oh, the more you pray in the Holy Ghost, the more you fill up your bucket. The more you're filling up your bucket, glory to God. The more you're filling up your cloud. Come on, come on now. Open your mouth and fill up your cloud right now. Open your mouth and begin to fill up your cloud right now. Ibram manom rabakatolobo shantalabose. Ibram matokolobo shantalabosate. Fill up your cloud. Fill up your cloud. Fill up your cloud. Fill up your cloud. Ibrando rabo shanda rabo sanda rabe ya baba. Ila bara baba da baba da baba da baba da yama. Come on, let's pray. Let's worship. Let's worship. Let's worship. Raba monem raba kata rabo shem raba na rabo se. Ibra mano maraba kata mara mara bara mori ando rabo sende rabe. Come on, worship in the spirit right now. Worship in the spirit right now. Ibra mamon nebra makoto robo sende bre manon eliando robo. Ibra manon nebra makata more bene bala mamo shande nebe. Rababa boriando robo shanda la mamon nebre bebe sende nebe bebe bebe. Ibra mano morabaga de bene bala mamo shande. Ibra mano mone bene magada mora marababa la mamo shande. Huh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mama mombra mamone brebebe shede bebe sote bebe bebe bebe. Come on, make a new song unto the Lord. Make a melody unto the Lord. Make a melody unto the Lord. Worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Let your incense go up right now. Hallelujah. You're worthy of it all. Come on, lift up your hands right now. I want you to worship and close your eyes and worship God.
Day and night, night and day.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. Come on, lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, saints, lift up your hands right now.
Bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of.
Come on, raise your voice and sing it to the Lord. Yes, you are, Jesus.
You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all.
Worship makes you weighty in the spirit. As you release the incense of tongues, you worship God. Tongues is blowing the ram horns. Just like our brother in the back blew the ram's horn. That's what you're doing when you play, when you pray in tongues. Because Paul said, if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, in reference to tongues, the trumpet was the ram's horn. So when you are praying in the Holy Ghost and you're worshiping in tongues, you're blowing the ram's horn in the spirit and preparing yourself for the battle. Amen. And we will never back down from a battle. Can you say amen? Come on, lift up that hand right now. We've got 3 days. I'm going to be laying hands on you tomorrow. And Monday is going to be the blowout night. Amen. But tonight, I want you to be conscious of the fact that you've got to be weighty in the spirit. You've got to be full of the word. You've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. You've got to be full of worship. Full of worship. I want us to do something before we go. Listen to this. David. He had 400 in debt, depressed, distressed men, 400 that came to him, and they became mighty men. Why? Because they had an impartation from David. And the Bible says there was a man by the name of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, who killed 2 lion-like men. My mama, Benaiah, that's one of David's men, the son of Jehoiada. He killed 2 lion-like men on a snowy day. The Bible tells you about the weather report. And he took the spear from the lion-like man. But before he did that, the Bible says he went down. He what? Went down. The way to defeat the devil, go down, worship, go down, worship, go down, worship. Can we go down tonight? Can we go on our knees tonight and worship God? With the same song, please. Hallelujah.